We're talking with John Orvin, whose father was one of the two original owners of WTMA. Your father's no longer with us, is he, Mr. Orvin?
No, he was deceased in 1967.
How old were you when WTMA went on the air in 1939? Do you remember about what age you were?
18 years old.
Was it a pretty exciting time?
Oh, yes, it was. It's a funny thing, but John Rivers, who owned WCSE at the time, hadn't made a lot of money off of radio. So he was very apprehensive about us having another radio station. Said Charleston wouldn't support two stations.
WCSC had been on the air since 1930, and then
CMA come on in 39. And he fought us hammer and tongue with the FCC because he didn't think that two stations could be supported in Charleston, and he didn't want to go out of business.
And now there's like 30 stations in Charleston.
Right. A little aside, for example. Coca-Cola Bottling Company would not advertise in Charleston on radio at that time because they didn't need to with their image. But we put so many Pepsi-Cola commercials on the air that they changed their tune after we got established.
Now, were you actively involved in running the radio station with your father?
No, I was not actively involved. We had very capable management at that time. Edward C. Powers was the first manager, and then another one succeeded Eddie Powers, and then eventually they had Philip Bottom that they hired.
What kind of business was your dad in?
It was Atlantic Coast Life Insurance Company. It's still in existence, and Y.W. Scarborough was one of the two equal partners, and my dad was the other one. And they put it on there. In fact, the Atlantic Coast Broadcasting Company was a corporation that would name function that they used for many years after we were out of it. The newspaper, you know, eventually bought it because they said they were going to buy one of the two, and Dad and Scarborough both said, well, we can't compete with the newspaper, so they sold it to the newspaper at that time.
Now, your dad and Mr. Scarborough did not have the radio station very long, did they?
No, it was about a year or two, I think, as I recall.
And when WTMA came on the air, they were originally at 1210 on the dial, I understand.
That's correct, and there were only 250 watts at the time. At that time, the spectrum was not very crowded, and 250 watts was pretty good. Better than 1,000 to 5,000 now.
Oh, and then when it moved to 1250, it became 1,000
watts. That was an arbitrary thing that the government made them do, too. It was they moved everybody about 40 kilocycles during that time.
Now, what about the radio station? The first broadcast was from the Dock Street Theater, but the studios were someplace else, weren't they?
Yeah, they were up on 10th Avenue in the northwest section of the city. Is a building still stands there where they had the first combination studio and transmitter site and business offices.
Wagner Terrace was the
place. Wagner Terrace. Mm-hmm. Then they opened a studio downtown. Across from the Francis Marion Hotel, there was a drugstore on the corner called Gaines Drugstore. And they opened up a studio above that drugstore.
Now, did they actually broadcast from the studio on a regular basis there, or that was just for special occasions?
Yeah, that was a regular studio because they figured they had to compete with WCSE up on top of the Francis Marion Hotel.
What kind of programming did WTMA have when it first came on the air?
It came on the air as an NBC affiliate, for one thing, and they used news and music and Man on the Street program. And, well, WCSE did the same thing. Russell Long was their first man on the street.
Now, how long was it from the time that your dad and his partner wanted to put a radio station on the air? How long did it take for them to actually get WTMA on the air?
Oh, I would say close to a year. Because there was a fight with John Rivers before FCC and what have you. And, of course, they fought him and won the point. In fact, they got into a testy little argument about after they got the channel because they had agreement with CBS that they would go on with CBS. And John Rivers, of course, got upset about that. He thought maybe we knew something he didn't, so he got involved in it and got some friends in New York to undermine us, and he took over CBS, and, of course, TMA went on with NBC.
Well, Mr. Orvin, I certainly appreciate your time and your memories. Well,
you're quite welcome.
For listening, listening night and day, stay tuned to WTMA.